Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
little ditty.
That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem written by my big brother Hatter, and the singer and the writer of the music for that poem song is Shao Even Shai. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to Atima Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group, that hangs out at allpoetry.com. And we bring you poems most night of the week from All Poetry, and we share different topics from different hosts and hostesses each night. If you are a member of Team of Voices, or you decide to join, which it is free to do, you can find us on the group tab, again, a Team of Voices. Just knock on the door if you'd like to come and hang out with us. It is also where we share the links to the poems so that everyone could read along and comment if they'd like to. If you are in earshot and would like to participate, you can call in at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we would love to hear from you. You could call in and read a poem. comment with us, hang out a while if you'd like. And tonight, we usually do a two-hour show, but tonight it'll be an hour. So I'm going to just jump right in here and open up the lines in the studio and say hello to some amazing people here, starting with my big brother, Hatter, my co-host. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, Deb.
Glad you're here. And I have our amazing dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, Kay, the owner, and her hubby, Steven. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. I can't hear them.
Hear us now?
There you are. Yes, glad you're here. And right behind them is none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
How's it going, guys? Nice to be here tonight.
Didn't mean to call you Wayne.
Been
a ham last couple of days, actually. Anyhow, I know that each of us, for one reason or another, is in a time crunch tonight. So I am going to go and do what I normally do, which is grab the poem that Kay brought for us, so that she can kick off the show. Tonight the poems and the art are about the color white. They had art to choose. They had whitish colored crayons to choose from. And then there were some really cool quotes that were in reference to white that they could choose to inspire their muse. So without further ado, I'm going to have Kay show us what she brought.
Okay. I call this Platinum Powders Mist Whiteout. Countryside morning of coffee steeping, birds chirping, golden tussle of yesterday's chiffon foliage. We come in today's ash of the earth and scuttle cinnamon to mint, tracing through the limbs, bare nakedness standing tall. Through the streams of creeks flowing, nature's secrets hush in this moment. Through bridges of time, shoals of blanketing and lace, of warmth, fireplaces, bones, steps to planks and docked canoes of minutes, pillow and tallows of light, says this is home. End poem.
Well, I like the title, Platinum Powders Mist Whiteout. Even just the title and the colors that you chose set us up for white. The platinum, the powder, the mist all set the mood for the white tones. And I like the visual in the countryside morning of coffee sleeping, birds chirping. I mean steeping. Yeah, coffee sleeping. The cinnamon to mint tracing through the limbs, barren nakedness standing tall. I liked that because if you actually looked at a dandelion, you would see it really does look like, you know, just a naked stem, but then there's this puff of powder mist. So I love that description. And as warmth fireplaces the bones, steps to planks and docked canoes of minutes. The visuals that you bring us are always so clever and original. And probably get sick of hearing it, but it's like nobody blends metaphors quite the way that you do. And I like the fact that at the end of the read, each one of us are carried somewhere different because of how we interpret each metaphor. So it's very awesome. And another good, bad, and ugly. Really beautiful share and great brevity. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, this is good. Kay, you become quite the writer. Whenever I see a dandelion, I always remember a video of a small kid, maybe 2-3 years old, they're trying to blow it, to disperse it. And they suck in first. They get real close, and they go, makes me laugh every time I see it. But yeah, great way to describe the way seeds are thrown in the air. becoming today's ash of the earth as it scuttles the flight. Exactly what it does. And a lot of the trees are really cool. I don't know what tree it is, but when the seed falls, it's on a, it's like a, it's in a encased tail that sort of spins as it falls. Is that a maple tree? Yeah.
Helicopters. Yeah. We call them helicopters up here when they fall. But yeah, they're real pain when they get in your pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when I lived in the rich and famous, they had a pool. And they're above the tree line, above the snow line, and they got pine trees and yeah, needles are not good either. But I like the, your brevity too. You know how to introduce, talk about, and you know how to close it. It's a little. Something that you can only learn by doing it many times. You don't struggle at ending poems, do you? Because I do. How am I going to end this thing?
It depends. It depends. I have a lot of words in me.
Yeah, you know, if you tell a story, are you trying to tell a story, it tends to go longer. Yeah, we'll have to get you a crime fighting suit with a big M on it. Metaphor woman. MW.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. You better get sewing, Hatter. Really cool comment. Wayne, what did you think?
I think he did a wonderful job of this. The picture alone almost made me sneeze when I first saw it. I thought I was going to sneeze there for a second. It's such a nice picture. But nice use of the white colors, very good job. I think the couplet, through the streams of creeks flowing, nature's secrets hush this moment. Is a relaxing, cool line. It's just a kind of play on words, too, with the stream of creeks flowing. It's kind of the same thing, the type thing. It's kind of good play on words. I love it. I like the poem. You did a good job with it.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
And fantastic comment. And, Stephen, will you comment for your hubby? I mean, yeah. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. my mind is wandering. Will you please comment for your lovely bride and then read your poem for us?
Yeah, I really like this too. And if I wouldn't have seen the picture, my mind, like I told you, kind of went completely different with your imagery, because the imagery to me is so cozy and it kind of makes me think of like my dream home,
yeah.
You know, where there's like a river running through the backyard, and the canoe's on the dock, and there's a little fire going, and it made me think of the screensaver that we like so much, and it's got beautiful imagery in this. I really like this a lot. Mm. You're welcome.
Does anybody live near a farm or on a farm where roosters are crowing all day long?
Yeah. Yes.
I miss it. I miss that noise. you get used to it.
Yes, you do.
Everybody complains about roosters. You can have chickens, but you can't have a rooster in California residential.
We got chickens too.
Roosters and geese. Yeah.
They're cute.
Until you got a whole flock of them, grease your pasta.
They're cute.
Awesome comment, everyone. And Stephen, you want to read for us, please?
Yeah, I I probably didn't go a direction that you would wanted me to, but because I chose the white wizard Gandalf, I had to go this route because of my favorite line that he always says in the movies and in the books. So I had to go with this. I call it Peregrine Took, knew the angry look. Three-masted ship that flows from lips and through the pipe smoke ring throughout the Shire and hobbit holes where dwarves do eat and sing. But when dead armor falls down tarn, clanging the echoing nook, brook the white wizard glaring eyes, you gawky fool of a took. End poem.
Don't piss the wizard
Very
off.
Cool. And for starters, I don't ever want you to write what you think I want you to write. I want you to go where the muse takes you. Sure.
I knew that was coming.
Especially when, I mean, you come through with your 4-line 10s here, you've shown off. I swear I'm trying, I just can't. The highest I've got so far is an 8, and nothing I did to it would make it a 10. I was so bummed. Anyway, 3-masted ships that flow from lips and through the pipe smoke ring. The visual there is really cool, like the thought of the pipe smoke ring. My grandfather, it wasn't a pipe, it was he smoked cigarettes, but he would blow out these rings. So I was picturing the rings. And like, I think this is the second week in a row when a line in your poem took you to one of my relatives. Just took me to one of my relatives. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you for that. But when dead armor falls down, tarn clanging, the echo nook. So you by the time you were finished with your 4-line 10, you treated us to sights and even scents with the smoke ring and sounds. And I thought that it came out cool. And I extra especially like the fact that you added the GIF at the bottom. So you animated the art. That literally animated the art. So that's really cool, too. So it was a great treat. Thank you for sharing. Hey, Hatter, what you think?
Hey, what? How do you like writing brevity, shorter ones? Does it feel complete? Do you have trouble with the length? And I only
I've been enjoying it lately. A lot of my poems have been very short lately. I've been, not all of them are tens, but I've been writing a lot of 4-liners lately. For some reason, I just got them.
Yeah, my brevity was 3 stanzas, so 12 lines usually. I always, my problem, well, the reason I ask those questions is what I have problems with. It sometimes it's just so difficult to end and be happy with it, you know, because I'm the guy that says, oh, no, your first line and the last line are most important. You got to remember what you just read, and you got to draw the reader in to want to read. You know, I'm all talk. It's hard to do.
Yeah, well, this one I knew I wanted to end it with Fool of a Took. So
okay, there you go.
That's
the hook. I love it.
Awesome comment. And before I get the next one, let's say hello to 11111, which maybe is Raconteur. Hello, caller.
Maybe.
Hey, Rack, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
I realized you were sitting there for over 2 minutes. I'm sorry. Did you happen to hear the poem or just us commenting?
No, I just heard a little banter, that's all.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. All right, well, I'm about to get a comment from Wayne for Stephen, please.
Yeah, I think you do a lot. Say a lot with this few words there, Stephen. I like the image you predicted, and this is a professional write. It's rated with 10. You rated a 10 with 4 lines. I haven't done it yet, but I got to try it. You did perfected the skill, my man. You did a great job on this. I think it's great. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Kay, will you comment for your hubby?
Oh, Kay had to step away. We're getting ready for.
No problem at all. Well, how about if instead you give us the lowdown on what's happening at A Poetic Slice of Life?
Our next show is The Poetic Inklings on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is our featured artist of the year, Lisa Asato. Kay found a lot of very Christmassy, wintry paintings from her to write to. I think there's 10 or 12 of them. They're all very, very cool-looking paintings. They definitely make you think of youthful winters. Check them out. That's Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And once again, you know, we enjoy it so much that Sci Friday is going to be on Thursday for the third month in a row. And this one we're going to do, there's a show on the BBC called Black Mirror. It's a very dark show that they do different you know, different storylines in each episode. And one they called White Christmas. So we've got quotes from that episode to write to. I believe if you have Netflix, you can watch the episode. It starred John Hamm. It's a very, very dark episode for being Christmas time, but I really recommend checking it out. And that's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. And then Sky is on Saturday with Storyboards. And she is featuring one of my favorite Christmas movies that I watch every year, Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can do rights, scene rights, movie rights. I'm going to geek out with Sky at 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday.
Sounds like a lot of fun stuff is going on over there. Thank you very much. And I appreciate you both. And we will talk soon. And I put Titus is on the board. If you guys will click on that, I will push play.
Okay, Steven, ignore my comment in your room, in your group. I'm the wrong group.
I saw that. I can't ignore it. I see it.
I think I know what I was doing by now. Yeah. Okay.
Epitome of perfection is she. I love you from the skin down to the bone, flawless to the point, linen white throughout in keeping with the oyster shell, a throne of mountain mist, a white cliff so devout. The softest lace has placed itself around you, when every color known to man is spun, a foam of silver nitrate displays the dew. How finite art does porcelain become, reflective of the angel this you are, like powder chalk am I to Mount Carmel, until the thaw a love draws from afar, cold frost the living memory I must tell, to eggshell any gloss to praise that man who best describes the woman he relates, albeit heavenly to lift like no one can, to bless the light a chrome through love creates. A shell which opens wide the grander scale, carried by the god she is milk and honey. Perfection is for real, a man's holy grail. Quartz, the root of all affections, abalone.
Abalone.
Well, a shell which opens wide a grander scale, carried by the god, she is milk and honey. Perfection is for real, a man's holy grail. Quartz, the root of all affections. Abalone. There's so much romance in just the closing stanza that it's like oozing. There's like, and then, all right, now let's go all the way back to the first. I love you from the skin down to the bone, flawless to the point, linen white throughout. In keeping with the oyster shell, a throne of mountain mist, a white cliff so devout. I mean, my goodness, there's just something about this one that makes you want to swoon, I think is the right word there, in the beauty, in the play on words, because it already, I think, for me, had the romantic feel whenever he uses an angel in his rites, because of a certain joy of his heart that he calls an angel. So, like, I just, wow. Like I said, between the opening, I love you from the skin down to the bone, flawless. What a perfect, remarkable, amazing, sweet, touching word to use, flawless. I mean, wow. It's always a real joy to listen to Titus read, to the sound of his voice and the flow of his words. This is absolutely gorgeous. And I see by the picture at the bottom that it's from his Earth Angels collection, which is an amazing and staggering number of poem collections, and quite a few, most I'd say, are various poets throughout the site. one of which is me. Now, actually, I guess now two of which are to me, and it's such a joyful gift, and it shows the kind of person that Titus is, and I appreciate the poetry and the support of the show very, very much. And again, that's from his Earth Angels collection. Great share. Hutter, what do you think?
This is a little different, I thought, than his usual way of writing. But I think it's just the word draw. How do you swoon?
How do you swoon? When you're done and you think, wow, that's the kind of swoon I meant. But, I mean, come on, look at those first two lines. Look at that last stanza.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I just didn't know how to swoon. And I'm going to admit something. I didn't know that was the spelling of epitome. I thought it was just because he put them on.
Epitome.
Huh. It is one of those oddly spelled words. That's true.
Yeah, well, it's almost phonetic. It's a word, if you don't ever use it and you don't ever write it, it just looks weird. It did to me. I've never used it. So. Yeah, good. It's a good piece, Titus. Thank you for sharing with us. And I like the way he underlined all the words for you. I think he makes sure everything's got a count. And yeah.
The word bank, yeah.
Word banks. Yeah, word banks. What do you do?
He's definitely one of the word bank masters of the site. He can spin a word bank. Really.
Yeah, when you read it and you don't know he don't have a clue that he's using a word bank. They win, whoever writes it.
Yeah.
Slide it in there.
Yeah, it's definitely a beautiful choice. And I am also noticing, woohoo, that it just happens to be a front page pick. So congratulations, Tony, that's fantastic. Easy to see why it got there. Beautiful share. And Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, heard this the other night. I still love it. and when you put words like this in front of a foodie, though, it takes on a different spin. I can't help but smile and be a little irreverent, you know. When you talk about going from the skin down to the bone, I'm thinking of a beautiful chicken breast. And, you know, he's talking about how white and everything else. And then it gets to the end and he talks about abalone. I'm like, oh, it was chicken of the sea. It wasn't the chicken I was thinking of. But, you know, it was beautiful. The whole thing was just, you know, the admiration and the line I think that sticks out the most to me is the woman that you relate to, because that's probably I think that's how you put it. I'm sorry if I'm paraphrasing, but you know that's what the meaning that my mind latched onto. You know, when you know you have a partner that you not only admire, but you know there's so much more to that goes below the skin that hides that other people don't always get the chance to see. You know that's what's special about it, because that's what defines your relationship. That's what you get, what you're privileged to have, and what you get to share. You know, so that, to me, that's what makes it so beautiful. And he brings that out, you know, better than most. You know, he talks about the way that he sees it and what it is that he sees. And, you know, his unique vision and, you know, verbiage is just phenomenal.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And speaking of a master with the word banks, Mr. Wayne Gent, what do you think?
Oh, man, I think this is wonderful. It's a touching love story, great rhyme, well-balanced. He used 18 of the words, which is really good. Just a little fabulous, right? I like the couple. He wrote a shell which opens wide, a grander scale, carried by the gods, she is milk and honey. That's just says it all. He likes this woman here. It's a great, great, great poem. I like all his poems, though. He's a very good poet. Could you read that?
Awesome comment. And I am on my way to put your link up so we can play your recording. Here we go.
Nothing. Enjoy it.
Yeah, click on the link and I'll push play.
This is called If He Only Could. He just wanted to stand close to her, touch her hair that was white as glacier's milk, in the midst of his mind, feel her marshmallow skin with opal glow, smooth as linen silk, shouting a cotton soft uranium wings, begging the ivory innocence of her pearl eyes to allow him near, to sangria stare into her magnolia eyes, dreaming of a champagne chant, to whisper almond words in her ear, admiring her long cream legs bound by root rope after her iceberg escapes in the smoky darkness, chrome torn lace trim adorns the chiffon dress with white out straps, filling the vanilla air with peppermint awareness, porcelain promises on a nickel night serrate the silver thoughts her bestique mind saw, perched on chalkboard boulders, dark titanium mushroom clouds foam, seeing her eggshell eyes as oyster teardrops fall. And
oh my, Wayne. If he could only. You had such a, you know, it just might have been a remorseful sound in your voice. I don't know. He just wanted to stand close to her, touch her hair that was white as a glacier milk. The description there was really awesome. In mist of his mind, feel her marshmallow skin with opal glow, smooth as linen silk. Rather than that porcelain skin, we have some marshmallow skin, which would be, you know, mega soft. So that was a really clever description there. Admiring her long cream legs bound by root rope scared me just a little, I must say. It was like, wait, what? But then I saw the what inspired it. And perched on chalk bone boulders, dark titanium mushroom clouds foam, seeing her eggshell eyes as oyster teardrops fall. The sadness, the the beautiful descriptions, the sorrow that you would, if you could just help her, you would fly up there and help her. It's just so many emotions all wrapped up in this one. It's like the beauty mixed with the what could I do about it, if only. If he could only. So it's just like, wow, really great job, Wayne. And
thank you. I use 34 of the words in this.
Yeah, that's what I said. One of our masters of the word bank, because like for you, 34 is a lower number, but still, wow. I mean, you've used them in the hundreds. But you really, really pulled out every emotion that could be wrapped up in her on the tip of that rock hard peak and brought it out for sure. And let's say hello to AP Taylor. Hey, AP. Glad you're here.
Hi. How are you?
Hanging in there. How much time do you have?
A little bit. I've got at least 8 minutes to the fourth quarter to see if Tom Brady can actually do something.
Oh, I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Terrible.
Come on,
Terrible. I need four stinking points, and I don't know if I'm going to get them. But, okay, sidetracked here. You want to comment for Wayne?
I do. I think we should invent a new term, which is to as widely use the word bank as possible, and we call it a Wayne from now on in. Because he is the expert, of actually going in and not only just using the words, because, look, we can all stuff words in a poem, that's fine, but he actually uses them in ways that turn into really interesting phrases. Like, I love sangria stare, I love magnolia eyes, I love whisper almond words. It's really interesting. And so I actually think, you know, from now on in, we just call that a Wayne. Full stop.
Thank you, Pete.
Great idea. Awesome comment. And Raconteur, what did you think?
I can expound on that. We'll call it a Wayne drawl. It's like a withdrawal from the word bank. It's a Wayne drawl. like you normally do, you know. You know, my mind tends to go towards food as being happy, but, you know, I could see a lot of what you pulled out, you know, the expressions that you put together, very descriptive and, you know, emotional, which is obviously the goal, I think. At least that's kind of what I shoot for. So you did a fantastic job pulling out tying the emotions to the different phrases that you came up with.
Thank you, Rick. That's a great comment.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, the metaphors in each line. Glacier milk, marshmallows, then, of course, feral eyes. Chrome-torn face trim adorns the chiffon dress with white-out straps. Yeah, a little artistry. That's pretty good. Yeah, let me put this glue, this Bondo on you. That goes good. Well, all the pictures of angels. All the pictures of angels. I've been busy.
Okay, AP Hatter was going to read next. Do you need to go before him?
No,
yeah,
that's
all good.
Okay, Hatter, are you able to read?
I hope so. He looks a lot like me. Go like this. The day fades to a place I have never been. Drawn to the dawn makes easy to pretend. Less than what I started with, I close my eyes to see a wish. Counting things that were once called mine, pulling strings to hide the rhyme. Break the vows that holds me here, then watch me turn and disappear. I'm stuck without a pen to think, finding love with a face to think. The stains that kills from beyond my view, the pains that will, they come from you. To mark this place where love's disgrace, it steals the air to breathe. I found a clown turned upside down. He looks a lot like me. Call my name as if insane, I will surely scream, it will surely scream. You took from me what you knew to be, the place where I once dreamed.
Damn, Hatter. Marshmallow sticks here. I know, where'd that, where'd that go? I'm stuck without a pen to think, finding love defaced with ink. The stains that kills from beyond my view, the pains that they will come from you. To mark this place where love's disgrace, it steals the air I breathe. I found a clown turned upside down. He looks a lot like me. That killed me. I found a clown turned upside down. He looks a lot like me. Really powerful emotions here, and this is from 7:30 this morning, 7:40 this morning.
Yeah.
Wow, break the vows to hold me here, then watch me turn and disappear. My oh my. A couple of the things that you said on the phone earlier are making a little more sense now that you read this. I'll tell you why later. Okay. But like I can't get past, I found a clown turned upside down. He looks a lot like me. That is really sad. I don't think you're a clown, Hatter. I think you're pretty freaking awesome. You're the best big brother ever. But that's just me.
Thank you.
Let me give you some comments. Wayne, what you think?
I said it's a sad, sad poem of a broken heart. I love the phrases you got in this, and especially the one, I'm stuck without a pen to think, fighting love to face the ink. Your rhyme is wonderful, lots of emotion, lots of sadness. Great, great flow. Did a great job. I like it a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, till the heartbreak I was here. Time I was there.
great man.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Thank you,
comment. Babe. And back and forth.
Yeah, I grabbed the same line that you did in my brain when he said that found the clown turned upside down, looks a lot like me. That's so relatable, and just, you know, it's visual in a lot of ways too, and when you get, it's easy to understand what you're talking about in that kind of mood, you know, because someone, you know, it's almost like they made a fool out of you, you know, you were trying to be, you know, pleasant or happy or whatever, and then they broke your heart. It's all in all, it's very simple sentence, but at the same time, very expressive. Like the whole piece is, you know, you're talking about not having the pen to say the words, you know, you're kind of back to the words you cannot say in a different way, but, you know, that's also a common thought that, you know, in this kind of a feeling, definitely applies and spreads through. You know, the whole piece screams like that. It's lovely. Heartbreaking, but, you know, at the same time, you really get your feelings out there.
Yeah, I almost ended it with that clown line and stopped there. I have struggled whether that should come last or right before the last
uh-huh.
song. Because that is that's a good way to end it. He looks a lot like me. See ya.
I could
wow.
see that, yeah.
Great comment, Rick. And AP, what did you think?
I always sort of try to find the point where sort of Hatter sort of turns on in the poem and becomes sort of Hatter-esque. And I was sort of drawn this time to either rhyme or ink. It's interesting because what Hatter sometimes does when he's sort of struggling to find where he's going to go with something, he goes back to the mechanics of the writing. And so in both times here, he's gone back to rhyme and he's gone back to ink. And then he finds that little sort of vein of gold and sort of mines away at it. And I'm with you, Hatter. If I'd written, I found a clown turned upside down, he looks a lot like me, I think I would have stopped.
Thank you,
yeah,
AP.
It's one of the most heartbreaking lines.
There was a lot of editing. I went back and put it all on paper.
Yeah.
As quick as I could, all the thoughts. Then I went back and I tweaked each line. And this one more so than any other that I can remember. And
I felt that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. And let me see here. Great comments, everyone. And all right, I am grabbing the link that AP brought, and I'm going to put that one up. And then that'll leave us three more. So I might actually do an hour. All right. Okay. Now, AP, when you see yours, take us away, please.
Okay. For the record, Alvin Kamara is equally useless as Tom Brady. And this is pearl-lined quartz. And goes a little bit like this. From mists the pearls will flow, in opal they glisten among lights.
will they glimmer as quartz in tow as this dragon is porcelain white?
Are no memories cast onto page, just claws that titanium whisk?
Eggshells trodden if out in a rage, bone crushes too soon left bisque.
Words are left to cool near to ice, frost of the meadows joining edge,
and the blood is covered in a trice, leaving just an ice-covered hedge. The quote being, "The colour white is the absence of memory" by Stephen King. End poem.
Well, I'm sure you know which part of this grabbed my attention. Eggshell trodden it out in a rage, bone crushes too soon left bisque. That's got quite a few meanings there. Words left to cool near to ice, frost of the meadows joining edge, and the blood is covered in the trice, leaving just an ice-covered hedge. The wording is really gorgeous. The first line, from mist's pearl wings flow, just that line is... What is that? Sorry. I think there's a cat fight going on somewhere, and I can... Anyway, it's sidetracked me. My apologies. I thought, and three stanzas, and you probably just wrote it 20 minutes ago. This came out really awesome. I was going to just start reading, but when it's too easy to steal all the lines. But I think it goes well with the quote that you chose, too, and the little nuances, like the bone crushes, bring out the Stephen King in the thought, you know. Wow, the color white is absence of memory. I think that you did an awesome job with it. Let me get you some comments. Heather, what you think?
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, this is very good. I got a kick, too, out of, you know, hey, that flipping dragon came by last night. Which one? The porcelain one. Porcelain white. And I wanted to ask you, what is trice? And the blood is covered in a trice.
Oh, okay.
A
very quick period of time. Like the amount of time Tom Brady is on the field at the minute. Like trice. He's there, he's just not there.
Hey, I almost played Garoppolo.
Oh,
he ran out of the field. Yeah.
Oh, well, I went to Sean. Yeah, right. What a great choice that was. Inspired. It's almost worse than Tom Brady. That's saying something.
It's funny hearing you say that. You know, you know, fantasy football now. I think me and you are tied.
No, Deb's got a. Yeah, no, you're a game ahead, Tatter. You're a game ahead. You're a short price favorite for the finals.
Oh, I don't know, man. My guys are, you know, they're saving the guys, they're saving their starters, and the end of the season, because if they're already locked in, the stars aren't going to play, and that's going to happen to all of us.
Well, true enough. Anyway, just as I say that, Tom Brady's actually getting some yards. Thank God for that.
Yeah, he actually just got a first down, so I got another whole point out of it. Now I only need two more. Anyway, Wayne Gent, what did you think of AP's poem?
Can you hear me?
No.
Yeah.
I can.
Okay. My lost my screen again. Well, this is great use of the word bank. I love the descriptions. Had a great storyline. I like the rhyme, and I like the line. I like the two lines of, are no memories cast into page, just claws into titanium whisk. That's great. There's a couple there. Excellent, right? And let's go, Brady. I need about 8 more points.
He's actually picking up some points. He's in front of me. He's actually turned the corner, Wayne. Thank God.
Yeah, I need to win the game.
Oh, I need him to turn just a little bit more. Just a little bit. A point and a half-ish. Anyway, okay. So, I have Angel's poem. I have Phil's recording. And then I have Crystal's that I saved for last, just in case she makes it in. So we have these three, and I'll read for Angel if you guys want to click on her poem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ready, Heather?
Yeah, I was looking at the scores. Damn Chris.
Oh,
and
yeah,
this poem
I
that she sent in happens to be a gold winner. And the poems that Angel submits are medal winners. And this is called Soul's Freedom by Heavenly Angel. Walking alongside power blue waves, I watch as snow-colored gulls dive and flit about on the milky foam and sea. Oh, to be as the gulls, to take flight upon salty sea breezes, to glide amongst creamy cotton clouds and set my spirit free. I gaze beyond the misty horizon where the sky and sea seem to interlace and imagine my soul taking flight. Sweet release. And poem.
Wow.
Well, that was a very beautiful brevity, and it absolutely goes perfectly with the art that she chose. No wonder she got the gold for it there. The title and the ending make the full circle. Soul's Freedom and the Sweet Release. Walking alongside powder blue waves, I watch snow-colored gulls dive. But I really like the part where she said, oh, to be as the gulls, to take flight upon salty sea breezes. I mean, the imagery reflects everything that you see in the art, and then it gives us a beautiful, uplifting spiritual end in that sweet release. So it's a very gorgeous poem, and as always, it was my honor to be her reader, and thank you for sending this in, Angel. Heather, what do you think?
Am I right? Take a look at this. Does this sound like Phil the Poet a little bit?
The poem?
I'm not taking anything away from Heavenly Angel. I mean, this is a great, she's one of our hallmarks. But I noticed it, up until the last line, I was feeling Phil the Poet. That's a compliment. Oh, I'm trying to make a compliment. Very well done.
Awesome comment. And AP, what did you think?
I really liked the sky and sea seem to interlace. It really fits beautifully with the image, and it clearly does on the image. So I just think that's a fantastic job, and thank God there's been – he's got a touchdown. You're in, Pip. Poem, and Tom Brady hits double figures, just as I'm making a comment. I should have got on this thing hours ago. Thanks, Pip.
Yeah. Woohoo! Can't believe it. Sorry, Gerald. I just kicked your tushy. Just saying. Okay. great comment. And back and forth, what you think?
Yes, to be a seagull, you know, she's got all the freedom and beauty right there on the page, and you know, that little brevity that she gave us. Beautifully done.
Great comment, and Wayne.
You say me?
She said Wayne.
Wayne.
No, Wayne. Okay, Wayne. I didn't hear her say Wayne. Yeah, this poem is like a song. It's a touching and a kind of spiritual poem. I like the description. I like the lines where it goes, to take pride upon the salty sea breezes, to guide amongst creamy cotton clouds. I love the description she has, and it's a great mood, and it's just a great poem. Good job.
Awesome comment. And let's see here. I'm going to keep checking. We have two left. I have one from the poet, and I'm putting the link on the board now.
It looks like most of the league, their benches, they left the stars on the bench this week.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. That's the poetry.
Okay. Heather, do you see Phil?
Yes. the pipe.
Awesome. Okay. Here it comes.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called She Is the Snow. Wrapped up in almond traces of an eggshell frost, upon her slender porcelain neck rests her silver cross. The snow rising to the rhythm of her breathing, her eyes of champagne mist looking for a reason. Ivory snowflakes form chalk like tears on her cheeks, feeling the ground move where it slowly creaks. Ice as fragile as bone in chiffon linen gloves. She smiles at the bisque outline of a pair of doves, dancing on an iceberg of a milk-powdered sky. Her eyes blink like an owl as they gracefully fly by. Icicles appear upon her head to form a platinum crown, clothed in a cream magnolia flowing lace gown. She is complete in white-out cotton snowflakes, freezing the smoke on the vanilla fragrant lakes, walking across on a salted foam that crumbles like a coconut. The owl launches from a brittle hand to seek for someone. The owl hoots in chromatic tones. She is the snow. She tickles the north wind and makes him blow. She is the snow from the roots of the pearl ocean bed to the mushroom cloud of an oyster's uranium head. She is the snow, echoes the climate of peppermint thoughts, drowning in a quartz and titanium sugared corpse, melting like a marshmallow onion weeping bitterly. The nickel of winter kisses the opal that sets her at liberty. End poem.
My, oh my, dancing on an iceberg of milk-powdered sky, her eyes blink like an owl as they gracefully fly by. Icicles appear upon her head from the platinum crown, clothed in a cream magnolia flowing lace gown. The descriptions are fabulous, and I think that the crayons that he chose to bring out the luster in the art that he chose is really, really awesome. I'm trying to keep it so that I can stick it on the board. Here it is, okay? Because you'll notice that she has the owl in her arms, and I like that he made a point of incorporating the owl into the work. And I'm putting that up there right now. And for the moment, it seems I can't walk, talk, and chew gum all at that same time. So let me see. There we go. Here is the art. And now I'll finish my comment. I like the descriptions where she is complete in white-out cotton snowflakes, freezing the smoke on the vanilla fragrant lakes. So, I mean, he's got scents for us. He's got sights. He's got sounds. The foam that crumbles like a coconut, and it put toasted coconut in my mind. Even though we were in a winter scene, it made me think because it crunched, I guess. She is the snow, echoes the climate of peppermint thoughts, drowning in quartz and titanium sugared corpse. And I thought that was like titanium sugared corpse. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a creepy thought there. A sugared corpse. What a contrast. And the quote that he chose. She knew that the white was more than a color. It was a cold, pale shade of understanding that seems to take all of your hope away. And the titanium sugared corpse melting like a marshmallow. Onion weeping bitterly. Onion weeping are those tears that burn and you can't hold your eyes open because they burn so much. So, like, although the rest of the poem is absolutely great, there's something in that last stanza with the corpse and the weeping, the onion weeping. And I mean, I just think that gave it an ending with a bang. And when you look at that picture after reading that, I thought of her as standing in front of those trees, but she very well could be laying in ice. And so, like, that's one of my favorite parts about this, is seeing how somebody interprets the art. And as always, Phil, another great share. Thank you for writing and for the recording. Very appreciate it. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the, like you mentioned, that the idea of a sugared corpse, it's really very intriguing to my head, because, you know, when you think of sugar, you've got a solid substance that could form like a crystalline sheet, but when you cry, you know, that the liquid of the tears dissolves that sweetness. So that interplay, that thought, you know, combined with the idea of the emotion, it's just very beautiful to me. It's like you've got the happiness, but at the same time, it fades at the first sign of the tears. So, you know, but there's, you know, there's also the tears of joy too. So it's really a beautiful thought. And then the whole thing, like, you know, he's got all the white, and the snow and the coldness of it, you know, but he's kind of fighting that at the same time. Did an amazing job with that. So, as usual, I enjoyed it very much.
Awesome comment. And AP, what do you think?
Well, firstly, it is it's brilliantly written, and it's very descriptive. And I think what Phil was doing was using the image in front of us there as Mother Russia. I think he was talking about his country as he knows it, as the Russian country, with all of those descriptions. And then in the final stanza, he was talking about all of the horrible events which are going on at the minute in Russia, and he was reflecting on those in at the end of his poem. So I think it's actually a commentary on Russia the country, and Russia is what's going on in that country at the minute.
And you know what? You're probably even more spot on than you realized, because his wife is from Russia, so it would make sense that he would be pulled in that direction. So awesome pickup there. Heather, what do you think?
Let me ask you a question. Is Bisque one of the crayons? Oh, it is? Okay, because I was going to say, AP used Bisque, and I just thought that was odd that it had to be in the word bank somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, Phil the poet, man. Never lets us down. I jumped to look at the picture. Oh, it's Wayne.
Sorry about that. The other phone died, and yes, it is a word bank word. That was the last thing I heard was you asked that question.
Yeah. She is the snow. So AP, you think he's writing a little bit about Russia and his wife? That's interesting.
I don't trust about his wife. I think he's using that image as being the image of Mother Russia, and I think he's talking about Russia, the country as a whole. And then he's talking, Russia finds itself right now, in that final stanza.
Yeah, this looks like Heavenly Angel. No, okay.
No, good thought. But no, and if you look at some of the last rites from Phil, I think you'll probably see that's probably where it is.
And Hatter, I wasn't saying anything that was his wife, just that his attentions would be to the area because
absolutely.
Of the fact.
Oh, sure.
Just as it relates to thoughts of Russia, that's all. But it was a very beautiful share, and I am checking to make sure that Crystal's not on the board. I don't see her up there. Like she's about to call. So, repeat, like reason?
Yeah. Sure.
Please do.
Okie dokie. This is Embers of Winter by Crystal Hope, and it goes a little bit like this.
Pearl droplets pour like a pitcher of milk,
lacing a basket of winter lilies in her palms. Silver skies paint the iris of grey eyes, tangling the violin strings of psalms. Blue moonlight shadowed by clouds, coloured by the bitter frost of spearmint. Pine branches shimmer in sapphire snow, dusted by the porcelain ice of footprints. Frozen eyelashes brew with steam of fury as wavy strands brush cold shoulders. Wings clipped in the roots of peppermint bark, carrying embers of charcoal boulders. Dripping petals brittle from chipped buds, unravelling from the thorns and splinters. Cold winds flutter from snow powder, sprinkling on the embers of winter. End poem.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And from the beginning, pearl droplets pour like a pitcher of milk, lacing a basket of winter lilies in her palms. Silver skies paint the iris of gray eyes, tangling the violin strings of songs. I really like about tangling the violin strings of psalms. I love that line. And frozen eyelashes brew the steam of fury as wavy strands brush cold shoulders. Frozen eyelashes, sometimes when you're out in the cold and your hair's wet from the rain, ice rain or the snow, and then you get these brittle patches of ice in your hair and on your eyelashes. So I could really picture those. And the thing is, I got the chill of the frozen eyelashes and stuff. Yet she's in the art without sleeves. A wavy strand brushes cold shoulders. What a fabulous metaphor. Wings clipped in the roots of peppermint bark, carrying embers of charcoal boulders. I think that she went nuts with the amazing metaphors in this one. With that said, it's no use painting the foot of the tree white. The strength of the bark cries out from beneath the paint. And I like how she incorporated the peppermint bark into her poem, pulling it from the quote that she chose. But I still think that my favorite part is that opening, because there's something really beautiful about the pearl droplets pouring like a pitcher of milk. Right there, Crystal. Thank you so much. And AP, you read. What did you think?
Yeah, lovely poem. Really beautifully descriptive, and used the rhyming quite beautifully in the 2-4 scheme, and just the way, not just the rhyme, but the assonance and the way that it went down the page was beautifully put together. Really, really nice piece of work.
Fabulous comment. Thank you. And Hatter, what did you think?
Krista does a great job with the word banks and the colors and everything. I'm sorry, I yawned and my eyes are watering. I can't get it to stop and they're burning, like you were saying earlier. You can tell when somebody has lived in the snow and writes about it compared to somebody that writes about the snow that hasn't. I think Crystal has lived in the snow. Am I right?
Are you kidding me? Oh, sorry.
What happened? I don't get the game. Tell me what's going on.
Brady just tied it up, and if they kick the extra point, they go ahead by one with 3 seconds left in the game.
3 seconds to go.
Oh, wow.
It's 16-all. It's just an extra kick. And he, again, pulls it out at the very, very end, and then he goes, say, see, I did it.
He had like 3 fantasy points when I joined this broadcast about 10 minutes ago, and he's now on 18.
Yes, it was 3. I mean, come on. Most of the game he was holding on to that little 3. It coincidentally, he has 3 seconds left, and uh-oh, what's the flag?
Uh-oh.
Rock and Tour, will you please comment on Crystal's beautiful poem?
Yeah, I liked the peppermint bark and the spearmint mentions also, but like you pointed out in the beginning about the milk, the drops, and then the eyes. To me, you know, when you've got you know, icicles in your eyes, it's from crying. It's not from, you know, any other source like that. It's the tears that cling to your eyelids and the eyelashes. So I love that type of imagery as well. She littered it with bits and pieces like that, made this wonderfully beautiful. Mm-hmm. And like Hatter mentioned, it really was a snowscape, you know, somebody that's seen, you know, and experienced the stuff in the snow and looked at the crystal clinging to things and felt the chill and saw the ice formed porcelain ice that she uses. She did a great job with all those metaphors and whatnot.
Fabulous comment. Well, that's the last poem, and I am putting a link on the board for next week's show. Next week we feature some of the pieces of poetry from Budo, with Budo. Yeah, I have 15 pieces of his poetry to choose from for inspiration, and then I have some really gorgeous, gorgeous landscapes and nature images that you can choose from. So let's see what kind of poetry words inspire for next week.
Could I be a pain?
Yes.
You sure can.
And what I did was I actually wrote for the Budo show only to discover 15 minutes beforehand that I'd written for the wrong show.
Wrong.
Done that.
So you would like to read... as long as you have to read it again next week, but I would love for you to read it.
Okay. Well, let's just see how that turns out, Deb. But just in case... I had to give you sort of something sort of vaguely uplifting. This is based on the poem Invictus by Henley in 1875. This is Indefatigable. And it's to the quote, "The stars dance tonight beneath the roving eye of Eve's twilight," by Budo. It goes a little bit like this. "Clouds past the night carry me, their tones steel, shading by toll. Mind is set beyond stars to see into days when moons are whole. To those who see but an outer stance, inside revolves a spirit empowered. This, my friends, is seeking to dance visions and ideas in space cloud. Many dead stroll by Eve over years. They cower on their journeys afraid. Racked in poison by tiny spears, their future lies broken and grey. Not me. I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. I orbit the suns to works I create. Past stardust, the galaxies unfold." End poem.
Nice.
Yes, I couldn't find my mute button. I think the ending stanza there, especially. Not me, I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. I orbit the sun to work I create, past stardust and galaxies unfold. You carry hope is an understatement. I think one of your claim to fame and your attributes there is your optimism and your positive attitude, and my positive attitude is telling me that I'm going to get to hear this again next week.
Yeah.
It's very gorgeous and the art you chose. Clouds pass the night, carry me, their tone steel, standing by toll. Steel standing, there's just so many pieces of this that I could dissect in a couple of different ways. Mind is set beyond stars to see into days when the moon's off whole. I don't know. I'm seeing visions of you and Hatter sitting on the beach painting sunsets together, just saying. I think this is awesome. And you read it, and I look forward to the next reading of it. And Hatter, what did you think?
Thank you.
Unmuted. I was not able to follow. I can't stop my eyes from watering. But there was a part.
Yep.
Say the title again.
Indefatigable. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
Indefatigable. It's a brilliant word. It sounds like what it is. Indefatigable is sing tirelessly. Is its description.
Okay.
So you keep on going is the word.
Onward
and upward. It follows Invictus. It's the same. It's in the same category. But I always love the word indefatigable. It's a wonderful word.
It is a wonderful word. A great description too. And having to hit your eyes feel better, get a cold water rag and wipe them off real good. Back and tour, what you think?
I heard a lot of thoughts of things that made me think of Budo in this. So I could see why you would have written it to the other show. But you know, at the same time, you're talking about positivity. You know, indefatigable. That's you know, absolutely perfect for Budo and the subject of the piece. And when you got to the line about continuing on with hope, that really, you know, it made me smile. He writes, you know, music and sadness and things like that. But you know, there's usually that tone of hope in what he writes that makes you come back for more. You know, that there's a sweetness and a tenderness, I think, in the stuff that he writes. I mean, he could be dark and everything else, but you know, it still matters to come through no matter what to me. And it spoke to me of him. You did a great job for writing that to his stuff. I really liked it.
Thanks, Ray.
Fantastic comments, you guys. So, looks like we are at the end of the show. I want to thank my amazing board, Sweet, Bill Betterdahl, and Hatter and AP. I'm such a lucky girl to get to do these with you guys. I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Wayne and Titus and Heavenly Angel and Phil the Poet and Crystal Hope and Raconteur. I appreciate you guys calling in and hanging out. And you guys make this show special. And starting to feel all kinds of emotional, so I'm not even going to play a song. I'm just going to say love and respect. Thank you, and anybody have anything they want to say before I click the button?
I will say to the lion here next to you. Watching you as a dream. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You're going to sing your poem, huh? But
you can't say it. You have to sing it now. And read it. You know that?
I know. That this is true. This is very true. All right, well, love you guys, and I'm going to push the button. And
thank you for using Blocks.
Bye, everybody. See you in a couple of days.
Thanks. See you guys.
Good night.
Counting on it. Night off.
Call me later if you want. Yep.
Okay.